When we crossed through the door, everything became silent. I hadn't realized there was so much volume in the world we had left, but just thinking back to it made my head ring. It felt like cotton, like there was cotton in my head, and it wrapped itself around any sound to suffocate it, even if I wanted to hear it. It took a second for my eyes to adjust to the silence. That sounds stupid, but it's what happened. I guess the cotton had tried to grow into my optic nerves too, but couldn't quite manage. I shook away the lingering shoots and looked around me.
Honestly, I didn't realize the silence at first. My head was still focused on Kiara. Why had she been there? And what was with that hood getup? So it didn't feel super cottony in my head. Maybe like a light layer of dryer lint or something? I only realized how quiet it was when I noticed Vera was waving me closer and doing weird hand gestures instead of just talking to me. Then it clicked, and I couldn't bring myself to break the silence around us either.
It took a little working and reworking until my gestures made any sense to Amy, and vice versa. Finally, she pointed behind me. That one did not need any elaboration. I turned. There was a row of statues, three of them. Each had a base with an inscription in Greek and four bowls of fire surrounding their feet, one bowl in each corner of the base. The flames made menacing shadows of the faces looming above us, larger than life and doubly as imposing.
Camilla, Alcestis, Hyacinth. Those were the names carved into the bases. I whispered them to Vera, who shook her head and motioned for me to repeat. I did, and my whispers sounded like cannon fire.
Okay, so Amy can read Greek. That's amazing, and she's amazing. I listened as she listed the names, and I looked at each of the faces in turn. Camilla, the tallest of the three, stood straight up and to my left. Her posture looked stiff, even for a statue. She had a narrow, pointed nose and eyes that looked sunken and full of sorrow. It even looked like there were hints of tears in her eyes, though I figured that was probably my imagination paired with the glint of the flames below. Although her eyes looked sad, her face overall looked full of a quiet anger. She looked like the kind of person who would send food back to be remade, not to be rude or for anything trivial, but because it was not what she ordered. Alcestis. She stood directly in front of me. Her shoulders had a more natural curve to them. A casual contrapposto that made me feel more at ease than the others did. She was closer to life-size, too, a mere foot above my own height. Her eyes had the same sad glint to them, though they felt more melancholy than downright sorrowful. She wore no frown, but had even the makings of a small smile playing at the corners of her mouth. The veil she wore was blown back a bit from her forehead, revealing wild curls bouncing away from their anchors in every direction. Her hand was outstretched, offering a chalice to Amy and I that I couldn't see inside of. Hyacinth stood lanky and lean to my right. His hair was loose and tumbling around his face. His toga was loose and tumbling from his shoulders. He looked young, younger than Amy and I, if only by a few years. His face had a gentle humor to it, like he'd been really bad at pranks, but he would love to play them anyway. He too held out a cup, taller and more ornately carved than the one Alcestis offered. I looked back at Camilla, but her hands disappeared into the drapery at her sides.
All of them had cracks in them. Camilla, just below her throat. Alcestis, in the arm she extended towards us. Hyacinth, on his temple. What really got my attention, though, were the cracks on the cups. Both had long scratches from their lips to their bases. The chalice of Alcestis had two parallel slices running through it, each veining off into smaller cracks along the body of it. The heavier looking one Hyacinth had only bore the one, but it looked deeper, like a gash. I could see liquid in the cup, and it really bothered me that it wouldn't spill out of the gash. Call me crazy, but anything that doesn't obey the laws of physics is immediately creepy to me.
The cotton was still ringing its insistent silence in my head. It had moved from annoying to eerie by this point. I looked around and past the statues, but all that surrounded us was darkness. Silent darkness. The longer I stared into it, the more hopelessly lost I felt, so I stopped looking at it.
Vera looked at me, like there was some way I would know what the heck we were supposed to do from here. I shrugged. Obviously, Kiara had sent us here with her fiery portal thing for a reason. Unless she was just messing with us, which is entirely possible. I could tell Vera was nervous about the darkness all around us, way less inviting from the clouds we had come from. I was starting to feel the crushing weight of it myself. I tried to make a portal of my own so that Vera and I could get going, back to finding her mother and her creepy relatives. It didn't work. I tried concentrating harder, really picturing what I wanted and all that. Nada. I looked back at Vera and I shrugged again. She frowned, the dimple above her eyebrow deepening. She looked back at the statues and something seemed to spark in her brain. She turned back and made some gestures. I made a, huh, noise as quietly as I could. She frowned again and motioned like she was drinking something. Then it clicked. I made a, noise, not really caring about the sound this time. We were clearly alone, so I'm not sure why we felt the need to uphold the silence we'd crashed into. She looked adorable when she pouted, and with all of her nonsensical hand movements. But there was no way I was going to drink anything out of a dusty, scratched-up, physics-defying chalice offered up by a marble statue.
I knew it was a dumb-sounding plan, drinking the whatever was in those cups, but I don't know, it just felt right. It felt like a gamble, sure, but one we were supposed to take. Otherwise, I didn't see a way out of here. I ignored Amy's head shaking and reached out for the cup Hyacinth held out. I just liked the carvings on it, the laurels winding around the body. I reached out for it, my fingers brushing the stem, but Amy grabbed my hand and lowered it. She shook her head harder, like the lightness of her first protest was why they'd been unsuccessful. I was about to try to figure out how to motion that we had no other options when she nodded to Alcestis's cup. I didn't really see the point in switching, but if that's what would make her feel comfortable, that's what I'd do. I reached for the smaller of the two offerings. There was a static shock that traveled up my arm the second my fingers made contact with it. It only lasted that instant, but it was painful. A bit more powerful than the kind you get by folding fuzzy pajama bottoms fresh out of the dryer. It was a wonder I didn't drop the cup. Before I could think too much about it, I knocked back a sip. It just tasted like water. Very anticlimactic. Amy saw that I hadn't fallen down dead, well, again, and she reached for the cup too, yanking her hand back from the shock I assume she got too. She reached a second time and fought through it to sip too.
It tasted like water. I was surprised by that. But there was an aftertaste of, I don't know how to describe it. Of earth? Of death? Something. Something that left sediment on the roof of my mouth, like grains of sand that wouldn't wash away. I added Listerine to the list of things I wanted to stock up on when we got back to Gilded Hill. I swallowed, and in one blink, everything around us changed. Camilla, Alcestis, and Hyacinth were gone.
All three of our new companions had vanished in an instant, and so had the chalices. I barely had time to register that, though, when suddenly a big ring of flames erupted around us. For a second, I thought I saw the figure of a lady setting the fire from one of the bowls at the statue base. I could just make out the outline of her body, and it looked like... Of course, it was probably just the dancing flames, but it looked like her hair was moving. Okay, yes, hair moves, so what? But I mean, it was really moving, like it was alive on its own. The rest of her sat still. Just like where we'd come from, the flames parted only once to allow access to a door. Amy and I looked to one another. I wanted to say something about the lady, but it didn't really feel like the time.
I took her hand and we went through the door.
We came out the other side and it was the same. Camilla, Alcestis, Hyacinth, they were all there, right in front of us, just as they had been. Of course, because why would it have been that easy?